shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Turn tonight to the subject of God and the racial crisis. Make no mistake about it, we are in a part of the time of Jacob's trouble, and the situations that are transpiring now are a part of the troubles that befall the people of the Most High God. And if you doubt that there is racial disturbance, or you think that all things continue as they have been in the days of our fathers, it's because you're blind and you refuse to see. But if you today are studying the events that are transpiring and looking for the answer to the question, you'll discover that it's very, very clearly defined here in the Word of God. In the first place, we have a race crisis because this has been stirred up by the enemies of our Christian civilization. I tell you tonight that the race crisis or the problems we have in these United States at this present moment is a part of the program of vast agitation of peoples who can be thus agitated because they're emotionally irresponsible and lack the stability that would be found in a higher level of intellect in society. I point out to you that demagogues from among the Negroes are using the Negroes for race crisis at this hour, and behind it is the power of world communism and the masterful design of anti-Christianity and world Jewry to accomplish these objectives. Let me point out to you that within the structure of this present problem, there is a master design which we feel is much greater than even the present threat of violence in the streets, which is developing and taking place under the influence of these demagogues. We have long since watched and observed, as almost all Christians who are alert to this matter, the struggle to try to infiltrate all areas of American society and to try to control the masses of the people by reaching into the areas of their communications, their instructions, and the centers of their patterns of thought. It is because of this that we have had a vast revolution inside the structure of the church and among its clergy and among those that teach. We discover that there has been in this infiltration a great number of those people whose political philosophies and economic philosophies are Marxist-oriented. The other day, to show how far-reaching this goes, the National Council of the Churches of Christ, representing the so-called unity of all Protestant denominations, said, "We're not interested in whether a minister is a Marxist in his concept or what his ideas are, just so he identifies himself with a faith." With what faith? This is very vital and important that we clarify this. For inside the National Council of Churches, for instance, in these United States, there is no requirement that you believe in the deity of Jesus Christ in order that you be a Christian minister inside of these institutions. In fact, inside of several of the largest denominations of Protestantism in the United States today, it is not essential that the minister believe in the deity of Christ as long as he advocates the philosophy and teaching that meets the approval of this socialistic world order that is finding its way into areas of control in the church. And do not be so dismayed at this moment that you think all is lost because you see voices that supposedly speak for the great majority of Protestants through such institutions as this National Council. Do not think, my friends, that all is lost, that the church is degenerating. It just means that degenerating forces have moved in to destroy the church. They've set up the institutions and the hierarchies, and they've stepped in to lay claim to authority that is not actually given them by true Christians. I'm going to point out to you that in the very near future, you're going to see a mass exodus of Christians out of denominations that stay lined up with hierarchies controlled by socialism and Marxism in the areas of their philosophy. You're going to watch, my friends, a great trend which is developing across America, and out of even these conditions of crises, you will see that God knows how to turn these things unto his own good. At this very moment, there is no doubt about the fact that the propaganda line has been working for some time upon the churches. They have been calling for an acceptance of a principle of total equality between men of various races, even going so far inside of religious centers today to advocate a total equality of people as it relates to their religious philosophies. Now, of course, we said it often and repeat again that as far as religious positions and patterns are concerned, as far as the identification of faith is concerned, that we do not recognize any other religions, and we do not recognize any other God or any other areas of philosophy or theology outside of Christendom as being anything but evil and error and made only to be destroyed. Let me point out to you that when we turn in the book of Jude, one of the last verses of the book of Jude, when he refers to Christ as to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. Now, if you know any Christians that are not willing to say today to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and power forever, then I'm going to tell you, my friends, they don't belong in our camp. When I study the book of Jude, which talks much about some of the problems of our end time, we point out to you that there are forces at work, certain men who came in unawares to those that were in the areas of truth and paying little attention to what others were advocating. And these men are of old were ordained to this condemnation. They were ungodly forces, and they were seeking, my friends, to destroy the very kingdom of Christ by their penetration. We are told that they come out of the same background as these fallen angels that didn't keep their first estate, some of whom were even greater in power than they are, and yet were brought down to the areas of destruction and judgment. Sodom and Gomorrah, which was, of course, the cities of great evil and referred to in the scriptures. You know what the great evils of Sodom and Gomorrah was? In fact, my friends, in the days when the plain of Shinar had been taken by the conqueror Nimrod, who put down some of the ancient pagan peoples and then fell into error himself, remember that this great white conqueror, and don't make any mistake about it, the sons of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, were all of them white men, and don't forget it. And Nimrod was a Hamite, and he was a white man too. It wasn't until, however, his administration that they got into the areas where the pagan philosophers and pagan priesthoods and pagan mystery schools tried to capture him, mongrelize the race, and destroy his leadership. Terah, the father of Abraham, was prime minister in Nimrod's kingdom. But in those days, out upon the plain of Shinar and in its nearby area were the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. These cities were cities of tremendous and great evil, for the remnants even now of fallen angelic hosts and peoples from various parts of the universe in satanic rebellion, and the peoples that came from the pre-Adamic societies that dwelt in earth, together with the peoples they had sought to absorb, were mongrelized, and they were intermingling. And it said here that they had given themselves over to this type of fornication, going after this strange flesh, and they were an example unto the end time, an end sample, and they were suffering judgments that descended upon them, what a part of the symbols of the example they would be as significantly marked and identified with the end of the age that we live in. Now, what we have witnessed in this time was that Luciferian forces, fallen angelic hosts, satanic kingdoms, evil and pagan forces of darkness had turned Sodom and Gomorrah into a city of depravity, of mongrelization, and of total integration, until every thought was evil continually, even to attempting to absorb, we're told, an angel, messengers of God, that came to speak to Lot while he resided in that part of the country. So totally evil were they that they wanted to ensnare and trap and destroy even angels of the Most High God. Now the great transgression of Sodom and Gomorrah was a race transgression. It was mongrelizing, integrating, and even intermingling species in what is called by God a great violation of law in this mixing mongrelization of strange flesh. You know, my friends, one of the great problems that beset our people in our time is that in the teaching of the church, they have not taught clearly to the people that constitute that church that the Adamic race is something special which God brought forth as a special creation, as a special bringing forth of his issue for the establishment of his household when he said, behold, there is no man to till the soil, even though on the sixth day man and woman have been created in the eras of yesterday. The peoples that were upon the earth had come from various areas, some from the Luciferian rebellion, some from early creations, but Adam was God's household, God's issue, God's offspring, and as we're told in the book of Luke, God's son. Let me point out to you that had the churches continued to teach and did they have the understanding and knowledge that the Adamic race was God's household, did they recognize that God had an intent to preserve it this way, and that the white race has a very special part to play in the history and program of God, we would not be in the trouble we are in at this time. Now, there has been no time in the history of our race when these things were not known, but many of these things were not discussed or they were suppressed. And from theological seminaries and areas of institutions of theological learning, the enemy had moved in and suppressed this area of teaching and sought to place around it some new type of religious glow that individuals must recognize all peoples as equal, and then established a doctrine which might be accepted as fraternal in the areas of lodge life, but it was not intended, my friends, to be applied to this, that we must accept equality, fraternity, and brotherhood. Now, Satan has been talking equality and fraternity and brotherhood throughout all the years. Now, the kingdom of God also talks about fraternity, and it talks about brotherhood. The kingdom of God recognizes the sons and daughters of God as a great household, as a mighty brotherhood. But I want you to know the devil's got this twisted around today till he moves in among the peoples of your race and moves into the institutions of the church and said your responsibility is to see all people as the same, to recognize equality among all people, to work for the brotherhood of all people, and to fraternize with all people. And the Bible doesn't tell you to do that. It's a violation of divine law. Someone said, what do you think is going to happen? I'll tell you what I think is going to happen. I think the blood is going to run in every major city in the United States in the streets. They shouldn't prophesy that. I'm only telling you that what I believe to be the truth. I believe that Negroes, agitated and stirred up by communist and subtle Jewish leadership, are going to move in and assault and attack here and there, create and precipitate crises in order to try to create a great Holocaust in America. And I am prone to believe that in areas of administration, there are a great number of the internationalists and the socialists and the communists and the anti-Christian advisors around the president that want this. I believe they have been creating and stimulating this race crisis for this purpose. Now, Negro demagogues are willing to ride to power. There's nobody more power-hungry than a Negro. And they would move among some of these who they thought were more affluent, and they would create within them a spirit of opportunity that if they would follow instructions, would take their training at red schools high up in the southern mountains, or even send them to Moscow, that they would learn how to talk and how to lead the peoples. Having led these Negroes, they would lead them in revolt against law and order. They'd lead them in revolt against this white civilization they were dwelling in, and they would stir them up to feelings of injustice and unfairness, and they would create within them a concept that they had been wrong. And by this, they would gradually stir the masses while attempting on another level through the institutions of socialists and left-wingers inside the church to give the whole Christian world a guilt complex. That they would bring these two things together under political demagoguery, waving a flag for supposed America's greatness. And out of this crisis that would develop, they would stimulate situations that just like you see in the nation today. They promised, of course, that Negroes would be appointed to high jobs in all areas of government, and they've appointed a few, and that's far too many. And that they would see that they had total equality in all areas of government hiring, from post offices to all branches of administration. And if they carry out their responsibilities where they are appointed in other branches, like they've carried it out in the post office, God save us. I believe the efficiency of a Negro is about 20% of that of a normal white man if he works at it. If you go down Los Angeles, you'll see something rather strange. All these Negroes running the post office and check in, and pretty soon they're wandering around Main Street and going into hula shows and walking around. They manage to get back to check out in time for noon to go to the lunch, and they go to lunch, and then they're out again wandering around, and somebody else takes a shift at it, and they've got this thing so organized that they only put in part of their time that you're paying for. I only point this out because this is only one area. I know a great number of men in postal service, and they're all getting out as quick as they can because it's been ruined. And I see the attempt to ruin every branch of our way of life, if necessary, by this same process. But the main thing that is being developed today in race crisis is to stir up animosities and hatreds upon the part of the Negroes till they incite these savages with a thin veneer of civilization to violence against the white race. Someone said, what is the intent? Ever since the Red Revolution seized control of the Russias, financed by the children of Lucifer and directed first against Christianity for the elimination of all Christians, waging first its attack upon the Tsar because it symbolized authority in government, and upon the church because it symbolized obedience to authority, and because it also recognized inside the church that the church itself was opposed to all programs of Antichrist. I have in my files and photostats and copies and films that come out of the records of the archives evidence to support that all of the communist revolution inside of Soviet Russia was financed, engineered by Jewry. In fact, that was well accepted by intelligence operators of our government at that time. In fact, nobody backed off from discussing it until we came into the Roosevelt regime. I point out that under the areas of this strategy, the warfare was on first to capture a vast area, an area that would be most easy for them to use for the gradual gathering of Africa and Asia, and then from a point that was on the perimeter and not in the center, they would direct Africa and Asia against the white race. They would hope to topple nations on the inside by creating racial crisis on the inside. They would seek to send more peoples into white nations that were not absorbable by trying to break down the barriers of immigration and all the legal processes that had been set up to preserve themselves from mongrelization. Now, this is a strategy of Satan, a strategy of the enemy, a part of the program which they had developed. And from the conferences in Asia, Burma, to conferences that were held inside of Red China, down in Africa, with Red Chinese participating, and all of them under the sponsorship of programs of world government, and many of them under the United Nations, in which Red China, not a member, still participate in the agitation. Americans were not there except as they financed this situation as a project. Now the strategies became quite clear. The peoples that made up the non-Christian world were being gathered together, and animosity was being generated within them against Christian nations, and their own plight of the lack of proper food and housing and a proper understanding in the areas of science and technology and proper understanding in the areas of sanitation and health, all of these things were blamed on the people that knew, and they were charged that they had been wrongfully had taken from them their natural right. And so Asia and Africa were told that their conditions and their plights were the byproduct of we who knew, and they did not know, and blamed us as the have-nations, as though we had taken it away from the have-not nations when there wasn't anything to take down there except what we developed. The strategy was to create tension and racial crisis so as they secured mass immigrations or found ways to get around immigration blocks or sought to move into countries, the unassimilatable peoples of other races, they would have them already agitated to come in with a chip on their shoulder and come in as a part of a vast operation objective to infiltrate and eventually seek to overthrow the status of white society. When communist Swedes like Gunnar Myrdal wrote such volumes as The American Dilemma and other books and became the chief speaker at these conferences, he constantly talked about the necessity of breaking down our laws, of even using justices and using legislators to try to get around the areas of present restraining laws. He said, the white man's too selfish to let us share his country. We must find a way to overbalance him in his country so that his vote will not be as great as ours, and we will be able then to change the whole course of history. We will absorb him, integrate him, or harness him. But these men have betrayed their own race. They betrayed their own nation. And they are equally as guilty as the clergy that were responsible for not having given more fire and charge to their vision earlier. Decisions and designs that are intended to break down the status quo of this nation and take it from the descendants of its founders and destroy your vision and your cultural heritage, which is Christian, is a part of the Antichrist design described in the scriptures as the work of these evil forces that creep in first unawares and then carry out their charge. The major design of Lucifer concerning the household of God, which has been transplanted in the earth. And I assure you tonight that the white race is the household of God, celestially born, transplanted from heaven to earth, through the media of being born into the Adamic race. And that's why God calls it a holy seed, and that's why they are his household, his sons and his daughters, and are marked with a spiritual discernment and an identification upon the part of God that marks them as different from any other peoples. There's only one final authority on anything in the universe. You know who that is? That's the Father himself. And if God says it, this is the way it is, every man be a liar and God be true. This is still right. In fact, you'll be so right that if you stand on God's side, they'll excoriate you as a right winger. And I could care less tonight what the enemies of God's kingdom think of us. I am only concerned about waking up every son and daughter of God for the potential good that they can accomplish for a mighty victorious achievement that is soon going to be ours in this nation and throughout the world. There is nothing that the enemy wants to do quite as much as to neutralize the resistance of the kingdom of God by keeping them in ignorance concerning their origin and their destiny, giving them guilt complexes when they obey God because they are thinking in the terms of the fallacy of a world order's process of thought. So I turn again to the book of Jude, and I know that the example for our time then happened in an earlier age. So I drop back to the days of Nimrod, and I drop back to the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, and I see that the great areas of catastrophe and destruction, the great cities of basic evil were Sodom and Gomorrah, and their principles of mongrelization and the mixture of strange flesh is a part of the design for your age today by the same enemies of God's kingdom. Now, God had a real good way of eliminating this curse in his time. He burned them out. Now, don't wait for me to tell you to burn somebody out, because I'm not going to tell you to burn them out. But it would be a good thing to say, come on, God, finish the job. The real reason for our suggesting that you ask God to do it is because temporarily it would be unwise for you to undertake this at this point by this process. Did you know that when your nation forsakes the instructions of God or the laws of God, you get in trouble every time? There would be no Negro crisis in the United States if all the white nations of God's kingdom had followed divine instruction and did not permit other races to dwell amongst them. You say, well, how do you colonize when you go out to the ends of the earth? When you go out to the ends of the earth under divine instruction, as you're given the book of Genesis. And when you go out to the ends of the earth, as you're given under the laws of God to colonize, God said, you go out, I send you out all over, and you set up civilization. And you rule that area, but don't absorb it, don't dwell with it, don't marry into it, but rule it. And then law and civilization and culture comes to the ends of the earth. But if you seek to integrate yourself with its society or bring into your home countries and your home bases these people, you're in trouble. Someone said, well, of course, the slave trade was our great mistake. I'll tell you something. Do you know who the first slave traders were in the United States? You want to read the book Muranos, which is written by Cecil Roth, published by the American Jewish Publication Society. The first slave traders were Jews, and the Jews sold the Negroes to you to make money, hoping that mongrelization would destroy your race and they'd soon conquer you. And I want to say tonight that Negroes sold into America as slaves under this great dynamic God-ordained civilization that was to grow up here, whether they knew it or not, had been given a very strange quirk of fate and had been given more advantage by dwelling in this environment than any other Negro on the face of the earth. No Negroes in the world ever advanced as far or attained as much as the American Negro has under the leadership and under the administration of white Christian civilization. And now we want to see how much that is, and it's an awful thin veneer when a witch doctor and a demagogue can come along and peel it back and turn them back into savages. When I talk about race crisis, God Almighty said, you're not to permit these people to dwell in your land. And if a stranger who is not a bondsman comes along and he moves to your land, he's to dwell alone. You treat him courteously, but you don't let him get control of your society. You don't let him teach in your schools. You don't let him move into areas of government. You keep him out of the treasury. If we'd obeyed the words of God and kept the Jews out of the financial administration and kept them out of the treasury, you wouldn't need income tax tonight. Do you ever stop and think what'll happen when the Americans find out who did it? This is why the truth is so evilly spoken of today by the enemy, because they're afraid people are going to find out. Jesus said you'll find out the truth will make you free. God warned you not to permit them to come in. The first mistake we made is when we ever let a Negro come to the United States, from colonial days to the days of our beginnings. But when this nation was created by divinely inspired patriots to fulfill a great destiny under God, and the Declaration of Independence was signed, a great number of those that signed it were slave owners. And when the Constitution was framed up, a great number of them were slave owners as well. And I want you to know tonight, and let this go across the country to every tape listener in the country, whether he agrees or disagrees, whether he's north or south, it's still the fact that by no measure was the Constitution of the United States designed by your forebearers to give equality to Negroes in areas of government or in procedures of voting, nor were they considered, nor were they classified as citizens, nor was their vote counted as the vote of a full man. I can show you in the Constitution when even a liberated Negro is only a part of a person, therefore couldn't get one vote. Since there's no vote way to vote parts, well, therefore it was never intended by anybody but white men and white Christians design and determine America's destiny. I point out to you tonight that we're not entering into the advocacy of the struggle of who's qualified to vote. Though I want to say, as far as God's plan is concerned, all the denominations of the National Council notwithstanding, God does not want anybody lifting a voice to determine administrative destiny in any nation of his kingdom but his children. I want you to know also under the contract which is given to the several states under the Constitution that they extend the power to the federal government, and such powers as they extended to the federal government was supposed to be the limit of federal authority. And any area of power not delegated to the federal government was reserved under the states. I listened to the commie attempt at a twist on this. I listened to a broadcast that was sponsored by one of our universities in the San Francisco Bay region the other day. They said all this talk about state rights is wrong. States don't have rights. They just have powers. Only people have rights. And if people want to extend the power to the federal government to protect their rights rather than leave it in the state where they have this right to make any change they want. So the university was citing that the trend of the last few years has been for the people, in order to protect their rights, to take the power from the states and give it to the federal government by decree through their representatives to protect their rights. Now, this whole story is a fallacious lie. Propaganda has been trying to rule America as a democratic mob rather than as a republic form of government. Therefore, they recognize that as the sovereign states secure their power from the people that frame them, and the federal government has only delegated power, which they, the states, have extended to it, that it is the right of the peoples through their states to protect their rights. That it is the obligation of the state to serve the people that make up that state and to curb the power of federalism when it interferes with these rights of the people, which the states alone continue to guarantee. Someone says states don't have rights. The people, however, that make them up have rights, and they have extended power to the federal government, retain the rest in their own state government to preserve these rights. There is no doubt that the noisiest voices that we've heard in America have been the voices of the socialist and communist politician and the politics of Lucifer. Because of this, therefore, he's been trying to take the masses, especially the uninformed, and promise them the roof. Going to give them security, vast checks, going to give them housing, going to do everything they want, going to give it to them. And the silly masses think that they had something given to them, and the government never gave you anything and charged you far more to redistribute it back to you with your money than you could have bought it for without them. The other day, one of the agitators speaking said, if it had not been for the government bestowing all these things upon you, you never could have bought anything whatsoever and paid for it over a period of time like your home. Why, my friends, contracts could be created between Christian production and Christian economy just as simply as it has been at the high rates demanded by the usurious program of the enemy. The enemy's been trying to tell you that nobody knows how to handle money but him. He knows how to mishandle it, all right. You know, the very day that the kingdom of God, following divine law, takes back the administration of their own economy, that the enemy's going to flee out of here because a parasite can't live unless he can extort. The program is rather simple, and I pointed out to you that all the stipulations that have been made lately about the authority of the government and how the president has to protect the rights of these people, and how by decrees, I tell you that in the last few years we have had decrees from the federal government, from presidents, from the courts, from the Justice Department that are not constitutional. Even in the areas of voting and elections, I believe that those contracts permitting the states to set up those requirements for elections stand. That power was never given to the federal government, especially when literacy is one of the areas by which the decisions and the evaluations must be made. I point out, therefore, that under this instance, the Constitution of the United States has not been broken by separate and equal facilities. That previous Supreme Courts had ruled this, and this Supreme Court, when it cites that integration is only legal and that separate equal facilities are not, this is merely the usurpation of authority, not constitutionally worded, and the refutation of all of the previous decisions that there is no area granted under the court to accomplish. How is a judge to be guided? By this court or any previous court? Is this court superior to any other courts? I'll tell you that it is not only not superior, it is inferior to any court we have ever had, except during the carpet-bagging days. We have long since, as you know, been ensnared into this world government strategy of the United Nations. Those that planned it, those that helped to perpetrate it, knew exactly what they were doing. They were trying to take away the sovereignty from your nation as they're using federal authority to try to take away sovereignty of states. They intended to make the world seem, under what looked like idealistic propaganda, one great world in which all men were to have equality, fraternity, and brotherhood. But it was the brotherhood of Lucifer. I not only have no common destiny with the religious instructors of Africa and Asia, but I repudiate their power, and if we fulfilled God's orders, we'd eliminate their authority and their opportunity. Within this same structure, we have watched one situation after another in world crisis around the race pattern in which the United Nations has been an aggressor. The United Nations has stimulated and created the situation, as might be expected, while always hypocritically saying they're trying to settle it. And getting this great nation of God's kingdom to give lip service to the devil's own strategies because they've had too many devil's men surrounding presidents that were neutralized in their brain following this kind of instruction. The United Nations seems only interested in interfering in Christian nations with a political minority or a racial or religious minority. I don't hear anybody wanting to step in and help the white Christian. In this country where we are the majority, we must awaken and we must assert our authority and we must remold and shape America's destiny. The enemy's trying to move fast to stop this. Religion, like civilization, is only skin deep on these savages. They can turn from Christians to Mohammedans quite as easily as they can turn from a people under a veneer of civilization to jungle beasts. The number of Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Protestant ministers on the Mohammed X movement give proof of this. Guards, make no mistake, this comes out of the black area. I don't know of any white Mohammed X followers. You say, well, why would there be any politicians interested in this? I'll tell you why. Because we have created the idea of world authority in the United Nations, and we're now creating the idea that the federal government must step in and create law and order wherever there is a problem or wherever there's riot or trouble. And by creating this as a race crisis proposition and saying that by the decisions of the court, any racial crisis or problem becomes Justice Department business, anything that goes on in a state that involves black or white, why, they rush in the FBI. And the general record of harassment has not been against the Negroes who precipitate it, but the white people who defend themselves. Someone said, are you against the FBI? No, we're not against the FBI. We just think the FBI has been infiltrated and it's being controlled and dominated by wrong forces which are now in power, and thus it becomes not to the best interests of the public that their services are extended under these emergencies. I tell you that a white man is treated far more roughly than a Negro is, and a white man on a misdemeanor is treated rougher than a Negro on a crime. We have the continued evidence that the strategies that are being built up are to create race warfare. I don't care whether it's Carpenter in Los Angeles or Mohammed X in New York. They are being told now that they must push and demand and secure a complete acquiescence of the white man for the share of jobs, for the areas of administration, for all areas which actually end up with the white man being discriminated against and the Negro elevated. They're not asking even today for equality. They're asking for a select position which discriminates against the white. You say, well, how is it that white men accept this? Because they have been coached for years to accept law and order, to have faith in departments and areas of government. They can hardly realize that these things are breaking down under a revolution which is designed to destroy. When they do, my friends, then they will be the flame and the Edomites will be the stubble. I point out that this is a part of the design of the destroyers in areas of power. You know, the most surprised white man in the world was the white preacher that laid down behind a bulldozer for a socialist revolution on so-called Negro rights, because his spirit had to go back where it came from, and when it got back and started to think clearly, what a fool he'd made of his time. If Abraham Lincoln had been better informed, there had never been a civil war. He admitted this after it started. And if he hadn't let a Jew write his Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, we never would have been stuck with that piece of literature. This was written on a train. The notes were drawn up by a Jew who was one of his advisors. And it was trying to sell us a bill of goods again. Everybody learned it, but it didn't mean it was so because you learned it. The principle had never been determined, nor have we been dedicated to the principle of a equality between white and Negro peoples. Abraham Lincoln himself said these two people were not equal, one superior and one inferior, and a superior and inferior society cannot coexist living side by side, two different races in the same country, without inevitable trouble. Therefore, it is important that the one society who is lower than the other be set up somewhere else where it can develop without the ramifications and problems that will come if they live together. In fact, I have books, some of them go back to the time of Abraham Lincoln and to the debates that were involved at that time. I have discussions and statements and bound material that go back to that time. And today, when somebody quotes what Abraham Lincoln says, we get a newspaper standing patsy for the left-winger that says, this is not true, he never said this at all. And we happen to have books written contemporary at that time that are the things he said, and even the things which he wrote, which are far more accurate than some newspaper controlled by Jewish advertisers today. They're trying to tell us now what the apostles said and what Jesus said. They're trying to tell us that the book of John should be ripped up and changed, and that most of the Bible concerning what Jesus had to say about the Jews was written by anti-Semitic John and wasn't true. One theological seminary, whose little young boobs have been standing down there before the Lincoln Memorial, has been trying to revise the Bible. Now you say, what's all this about? To get more emotion, to get more sympathy, to make people think that the religious part of the nation who wants to be integrated, mongrelized, and to destroy its heritage. There's no doubt that the heart of these major denominations have already been sold this way, but they don't want it for their family. They don't want it for their relatives. They want it for anybody else because they don't think it's going to touch them. These people don't care what kind of a world they pass on. This is what you call a casualty in this war. You know, the real casualties may not be our soldiers that die on field of battle. They are people whose minds have already been captured by error, and they are in opposition to the best interests of the kingdom of God while they live. The strategy is quite clear. The agitation picks up, and so the stall ends. We're going to precipitate violence. Do you know that in high schools that we have been having waves of race war, we've been having violence, we have had white boys stabbed, slashed, and killed by Negroes, San Francisco and in Mill Valley. We've had teachers and women and even nuns inside of their colleges raped and mutilated, even inside of their own beds and inside of their own areas of security. We had a little boy emasculated in Encino the other day. We had cops hacked to pieces by cleavers in the hands of Negroes. We are having violence and war, and the papers suppress it because they have orders not to let you know about it, and the Negroes being flamed on and on and on to get away with it. A normal attempt to arrest somebody speeding or a stolen car suspect turns out to be Negroes and leading the officers into ambush. And when they stop and the arrest is attempted to be made, Negroes swarm all over the police and attack the police. When's the police department in this city and in this state going to wake up? When are they going to realize that only white Christian Americans stand by them and let the white race unite today to make sure that war against the white race is not to be an unsuccessful program? There are peoples all throughout the South that have known harassment and they've known problems. This is going on all the time. Riot, violence, and upset problem. They were going to commit acts of violence, and they said a little bloodshed and a little violence are going to step up our program, teach the white people respect. Their own chief of police knows that this city is timed in for stall-ins on the freeways. And they're going to try to chain cars together, block the freeways, and then after they get a mile or so packed up, to come in behind and again chain their cars together. Negroes are to swarm up from the streets, up on the freeways, up the ramps, and then not let white people out of their cars, create violence and trouble. They want a little blood, they say. Of course, law enforcement said, we got to keep the white people calm unless these troubles start. But about the time you're held prisoner on the freeway while mobs of Negroes are prepared to rough you up, I want to know, how do you keep calm? Someone said, how is it done? What's the strategy? I'll tell you what the strategy is. There is now geared and designed by Negro communists that they're going to start fires on one end of your city. And while the fire departments run that way, they're going to start a riot on another outlying part of the city. And then the main echelons of Negroes are going to attack homes, steal, rape, and with violence assault people. This is a part of the strategy of the commie revolution. This is one reason why people must be prepared to defend themselves. But now let me show you what the master strategy is. You know, we've had all kinds of military operations. We've had water moccasin and all other kinds of military operations. Now get this clear. We are not in any way opposing the training of our military forces or for their training against any kind of military situation they might find themselves in here or any of these brush fire wars that we get in. We are somewhat suspect of this Green Beret group that's known as the specially trained group against insurgency. Because the insurgency that they refer to is not so much a communist revolution as to suppress white people trying to protect themselves. Now there are proclamations made each time we have one of these great military maneuvers, sometimes in the country or out in the desert, that if there comes a national emergency based on economic crisis, natural catastrophe, or race problems, that these troops can be immediately ordered to step in and quell and take over with martial law those areas. We think that demagogic stirring up of Negroes is intended to produce crises so that they can have an excuse to take over with martial law, disarm citizens in great numbers, put them in concentration camps for a cooling down period, and then, my friends, eliminate the opposition. And I remember in the scripture that when Haman built a scaffold, he hung on it. Though don't believe that Book of Esther's story exists because it's a twisted up perversion. The name of God isn't in it once. Anytime you get a volume of inspiration in the name of Yahweh and no mention of God is in it, don't always be too sure it's inspired. Look around for some other author. I tell you that the direction that the Most High God gives race crisis is he challenges his people to know that he had chosen and selected them above all the peoples on the face of the earth because they are a holy seed and a holy people, and they are an issue from himself. God has ordained you to rule the world. I again turn to the book of Matthew. And when Christ himself shall come in all his glory with all his holy angels with him, and he shall take the throne of his glory in the earth, he's going to gather the nations and separate them as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he's going to say to the Christian people, the great white Israel of God, rule over these goat nations. Receive this kingdom that I, God, have prepared for thee from before the foundation of the world. Now, God's a white supremacist tonight. God believes in white supremacy and the establishment of a great white throne. God stands for you, the white race, the household of God, spiritually energized to administer the world. This is his plan, and he's promised to fulfill it. If you were to read the scriptures and look for his identification, you would discover this all the way through. When he talks about the book of Revelation and how the beast forces and the beast peoples will form the hordes of Antichrist against the kingdom of God, it becomes quite clear that their enemies and the people they seek to destroy are the believing offspring, the saints, and the children of God. Again, in this mysterious but informative 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, we discover that when Satan is cast to the earth and defeated in the heavens, which took place, and with him a third of the angelic hosts of the heavens that rebelled with him, and these are the people that made up some of the population of Sodom and Gomorrah, and their evil offspring make up our troubles today, from hop shop to synagogue, from presidential staff to the world revolution. It tells us that this force of darkness, referred to as Lucifer, against whom Michael and his angels fought, and the dragon fought with his angels and prevailed not, that this great dragon, the old serpent, devil or Satan, and his host that were cast into the world, And these that were cast out with him, what do they do while they're down here? They make war against the kingdom of God, and the scripture says, now is the strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is going to be cast down. What brethren? The brethren of God, the family of God, the household of God, the race of the Most High. When it says the earth is going to help your race and swallow up the seed of the dragon like a flood, and the earth is going to open up her mouth and swallow up the flood of the dragon's seed as well, and much of the dragon's seed is going to be carried away by the flood. You say that God isn't interested in this. This is all a part of the crisis. And God says, I want you to know that I'd give Asia and Africa for you because I've loved you. You're my household. You're my sons and my daughters. He declares this in Isaiah. Someone said, is this fair of God? Yes, God thinks it's fair to get devils back where they came from and give the kingdom full sway. Don't come around and say, Dr. Swift, that's not Christian, because if I start quoting Jesus on this matter, you're going to discover he's quite forceful on it. So the earth is swallowing up the enemy like a flood, and its earthquakes are moving to swallow them up some more. Someone said, Dr. Swift, do you think there's going to be a great earthquake? I have four or five pieces out of newspapers. I have all kinds of clippings. I have the evaluations of experts on seismology, and they're all telling you what we told you some years ago. The dragon is angry with a woman and went forth to make war with all that remain of her seed that have the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, you can't take the house of a strong man unless you bind the strong man first. And thus the strategy of the enemy is to bind the strong man. Do you know that in your heart, your desire to live at peace grows out of your spiritual background, in which you would see all the universe peaceful because God says it's going to be peaceful one of these days. But an overemphasis is placed on how the peace comes. It comes only through victory. Under this process, there are a lot of people that are trying to believe that it's not going to happen. Animosity, there is no animosity in Christians against the species and peoples of earth, but there is animosity against evil. And when they turn under demagoguery of the devil and with hatred and violence seek to destroy your families, your children, your civilization, and your culture, and when they sneak in on the inside talking brotherhood while they set it up, the wrath that rises up in your countenance will be like a sheet of flame. You know, the scripture says that when the house of Joseph becomes a flame, and this enemy that's before us is the stubble, it's going to be a good burning for a good pasture. We make every advocacy for the defense of your society and civilization. We tell you that we don't think there's enough law enforcement agents and officers in this whole state to defend you from Negro mobs when they're stirred up. There's more Jews in Los Angeles than there is in Palestine. There are more stimulation for problem and trouble here than anywhere else. Every time you turn on the radio or the television, the Nye Brith is running around as the expert. And silly people are turning to them for advice, and they're getting the advice of these character assassins who attack every patriot in the country as though they were the experts and the patriots are to blame. It would be so much simpler that instead of integrating America, that we send the integrators to Africa and there let them integrate. God on race crisis tells you this: come out from among them, be ye separate or segregated. Because I'm going to be a God to you and your children after you if you give me a chance. Not mongrelized, but free, separate. From churches ordering integration to now spreading Negroes through their pastorates, Negro ministers have been sent all over around Methodist churches. They're setting up a big mass program of putting Negro ministers in white churches. Going to put some white ministers down in the Negro churches. This is to set up a program for total integration of their congregations. Eventually, the destruction of the barrier of interracial marriage to produce, as they say, one family. In which now the propaganda trend is to openly advocate intermarriage as the highest spiritual vision of Christianity to show that there's no animosity and that man's looking on the heart. When the cry goes up, the kingdoms of this world are to become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever. And the 24 elders before the Most High God fall before the Father and worship him, the patriarchs of the house of Jacob and the apostles of Christ. And when they say, we give thanks to thee, O Lord God Almighty, which art, which wast, and which art to come, because thou hast taken unto thee thy great power, and thou art going to reign. And what it says, all the nations are angry. The nations are angry, and their wrath is come. And the reason why they're angry is that the saints of the Most High God are being given reward and power, and this is what they're against. They're angry because it says that God will destroy in the earth those that sought to destroy the saints of the Most High, so they're angry. You want to know today why they're angry against Christians that speak out? Is because they're afraid God's going to give you power, and they don't want the testimony. I turn over in the declaration of the scripture, and I read again. So when I saw the great hosts of heaven coming, the great armies of the kingdom following Christ, I saw the beast, the kings of earth and their armies, and they want to make war against Christ, against his kinsmen, which are you, that have the testimony of Christ. They want to make war against you. And I saw what transpires as God here shows the victory, said John. When you turn in the scriptures and God said, I want you to know that I'm going to elevate you, I'm going to place you in power, I'm going to stimulate you to follow my law and my purposes. And every time they say this, the nations rage, the pagans cry out, the beast system shouts down God and then makes war. Then, my friends, always in this end, the elders have a reason to rejoice. Saints of the Most High God can thank God for his power because he rises with power that will not deny himself and reigns. On the race crisis measure, God said this would be stimulated by the enemy. The Antichrist would stir up beast peoples for a beast kingdom, would wage war against Christians and Christianity. You in the United States tonight are participating in a war against Christianity by the beast system to unseat the white race, to equate you with unassimilatable masses. Right now, a master design calls for mass immigration into America of Asiatics and Negroes. I think what America needs is a great mass determined stand of white Christian people to say, let's deport, let's ship out, not take in. I think every revolutionist that's revolting against the kingdom of God and the white race should be shipped out. Someone says, not constitutional. Well, nothing that they're doing is constitutional. I'll tell you what's biblical to do about them. That's to eliminate the enemy. And if you turn to the Elijah ministry and find out what Elijah did, and when he says, one of the last things I'm going to do is send upon you the spirit of Elijah, and if the spirit of Elijah came on America's clergy and the people stood up behind him to do what Elijah did, you'd get all through this problem all at once. You can't tell me that all these Jews were being burned up if there were so many eyewitnesses standing around. Why did they throw them in too? The forces of darkness, the powers that spread communism, the peoples behind race war and those that want to mongrelize and integrate your race are the peoples that cried out that they were put to death in those ovens. And I want you to know that when the hosts of God arrive and we finally eliminated and imprisoned all the powers of darkness, the people that will be in your camps and in your prisons will be the people that escape from the ovens. Someone said, Dr. Swift, you shouldn't talk that way. That won't be popular. I'm not concerned about this. I just want you to know that I believe tonight that world communism is working the same ruse and guise on you, and that when God Almighty gets through with the Elijah ministry that he said I'll stimulate, we're not going to have the mistakes to duplicate itself again that have happened in the past. You know, God said that David was a man after his own heart because he was courageous and he fought against the enemies of the kingdom of God. But you know what God had against David? You know what mistakes he made? When the enemies that had betrayed and had brought death and misery and war and catastrophe upon your race, when they brought pagan philosophies and sent in spies to betray you, and God said, David, I'll give you strength and power. And they started to sing, Saul hath killed his thousands and David his 10,000s for God. And when God said to David, don't you spare anything of this evil now, clean it up. And David saved some. Because David saved some, you've had a communist revolution, you've got race crisis tonight. When the Elijah ministry finishes its task under God, there's not going to be any mistake like this duplicated again. all that would destroy American Christian civilization should be considered by Christian civilization their enemy. I think it's time for every white Christian Caucasian in America to stand up, call for God's help, vote against the enemy, put in their own candidates, make complete demands through their representatives that these things change, or impeach them all. Anytime a minister comes out to denounce the area of it that's white and Christian, and the use of the identity of the white race in Christianity, or to identify any idea that white Christians are superior to Jews, or that any area of society is more treacherous than some other area, all these ministers repudiate that, then they repudiate the Bible, they repudiate the teachings of God, and the church ought to repudiate them. I don't care who they are, whether they're as big as Bernie, or whether they're some obscure preacher you never heard. You know, there's a lot of people take a patriotic stand if they think it's going to get behind them wealth, power, and affluence. And they'll take a stand for something that's right and build themselves up a big front and then turn with a full-page denunciation now of Christians. Don't you ever forget, any minister that plays along with a Jew trap to denounce Christians because they take a stand for quite Christian majority using their influence to rule America shouldn't get the support of any Christian again. But this is a crisis, and it is a race war. And when there's a race war and Negroes are recruiting and Jews are recruiting, white people better recruit. With elements dissolving in fervent heat, with the Antichrist breathing out slaughterings against the Christians, with the kingdom of God under great challenge, it's time for every Christian to dedicate himself to the lordship of Jesus. Be determined that he's going to see the Christian influence sweeps America, that all men turn to the recognition of the true God. I think it's time for every Christian to dedicate himself to try to awaken other Christians. Oh, you say they don't want to be awakened. You ever see a person asleep that wanted you to wake them when you shook them? Some of them come out of it real violent. But if you're on a ship and it's starting to take water and starts to go down, those people don't mind too much after you shake them and you wake them up. And if America doesn't man the pumps, this ship of state will go down while they sleep. But God said you're going to wake up and man the pumps, so you better start waking men and women up. Someone said we've got to point the way to the cross. That's right, point back to the cross, to emancipation and victory. Point ahead to the glories of sonship, for God hath ordained it and victory accomplished. And go out of here and tell it, tell it, tell it.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.